Hey, we're just the messenger. We don't make these prices go up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. We started getting emails here at Marketplace. People are complaining enough is enough with the depressing economic news. Fact is, though, it's been really hard lately finding good things to report. Just this morning, the White House is admitting the president's very concerned about how rising prices are hitting American families. Consumer inflation jumped a full percentage point last month, more than that, actually. But hey, you want to feel better, consider this morning's entry from the Marketplace, It Could Always Be Worse desk. The head of the central bank in Zimbabwe reported today that annual inflation in that politically unstable African nation has now hit, I kid you not, 2.2 million percent, the highest in the world. Given that, we asked reporter Stephen Henn to dig a little deeper for some kind of silver lining in our own building inflation clouds.
Diane Swank is chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She joined us from Chicago this morning where the weather is...
It's hotter than hell. If the economy was that hot, we wouldn't have a problem. The problem is inflation is hot.
Consumer prices rose more than 1% last month alone, but wholesale prices shot up at almost twice that pace. So businesses are feeling the heat even more acutely than you are.
And that means that all the inflation we're seeing today, there's still more price hikes down the road.
The good news, if you can call it that, is that high energy and fuel prices are putting a pinch on consumer spending. That could tip us into a recession, and then inflation will cool off. So look on the bright side. In the long run, maybe this is good for us. Then again, maybe not.
Nothing is fun in the long run, and as Keynes said, we're all dead in the long run.
In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Well, there actually is some good news from Wall Street at this hour. Some cynics are saying we can't be sure how long this week's slide in oil prices will last, but that's one of the positives investors are focusing on today. So far, the Dow is up 90 points, 0.8%. The NASDAQ has gained 29 points, 1.3%. The S&P 500 has tacked on 7 points, 0.2%. Oil, by the way, keeps sliding. It's now down about 15 bucks from the peak a few days ago. Until the price of oil cools way down, though, people are going to be talking about something that was written off in the 80s, nuclear power. Today, Congress is revisiting how nuclear plants get approved. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has hit a bit of a dry spell. No new power plant applications from 1978 till last year. Since then, the NRC has received 9 applications and expects another 9 this year. One of the proposals is from Exelon Energy, one of the nation's largest utility companies. It plans to use nuclear power to cut its carbon dioxide emissions. Exelon's Shelley Keller says this nuclear renaissance is fueled by climate change and by necessity.
This country went through a long period where we had too much generating capacity. Now we need to, in fact, be in another build cycle, and the nuclear comes back into that equation.
The NRC has tacked on an additional 600 staffers over the past 3 years to deal with the new applications. But getting approval for a new plant can still take at least 3 years. Watchdog groups complain that the NRC only skims the surface of applications. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Regulators are looking into how bad-mouthing might have contributed to the collapse of Bear Stearns. The Wall Street Journal reports the former head of the now-defunct investment bank says some traders at Goldman Sachs intentionally bashed Bear's stock to drive the price down. That's allegedly so they could make money short-selling it. Yesterday, federal regulators issued new rules to curb the short-selling of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac stocks, as well as those of more than a dozen big banks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to bring math and science teachers to under-resourced public schools. More information at teachforamerica.org. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, online at shrm.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
A new report says the U.S. needs more graduates in math and science fields, hundreds of thousands of them. That's to keep up with the rest of the world. Commentator Will Wilkinson says there's an easy solution. Let more skilled foreign workers into the country.
The U.S. issues only 65,000 H-1B visas for skilled workers each year, and that's not very many. Senators McCain and Obama have both said they would support raising the cap. They acknowledge we need more skilled workers, and they're right. Yes, it would be good for innovation and growth, and it would bring down the prices of goods created by skilled workers. But here's another reason you might not have thought of. Wage inequality. Wage increases tend to track improvements in the productivity of labor, and gains in productivity tend to be driven by innovations that help workers do more in less time. But in recent decades, technical innovation has increased the productivity of more highly educated workers faster than it has for less educated workers. These growing inequalities in productivity have helped create growing inequalities in wages. But that's not the whole story. The American system of higher education produces skilled workers too slowly to keep up with the demand. This scarcity in supply bids up the wages of the well-educated even more, further widening the wage gap. If we raised visa quotas on skilled labor, that would help bring supply in line with demand and reduce the wage gap between more and less skilled workers. These days, almost everybody but their beneficiaries think agricultural subsidies are a lousy idea. They benefit a few already relatively wealthy American farmers and agribusiness firms, to the detriment of poor farmers around the world. But H-1B visa restrictions are subsidies that benefit relatively rich domestic workers over their poorer foreign peers. And so it turns out, many of us liberal-minded college grads are enjoying our own protectionist boost. In this case, it seems the moral outrage is, well, we seem to be keeping it to ourselves.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog on our website, marketplace.org. And this final note, a Wisconsin political candidate has an oily situation on his hands. Chad Fredette wanted to help the good people of his state fill up on gas. So he handed out $128 at a local gas station. Trouble is, the board that oversees elections in Wisconsin says, back off, buddy, vote buying is illegal. The candidate for state senate passed out money to 34 drivers during a campaign event earlier this month. The issue now falls upon local prosecutors. Hey, his heart was in the right place, right? In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Glad to have you with us this morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.